the 16th chapter, and especially this verse 8. Speaking of the Spirit, Jesus says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, everything has changed. The crosses are down, along with the lilies which used to sit upon them. The Easter greeting is no longer spoken at the beginning of the service, and it's not just due to the pastor forgetting. Red is replaced white on the altar and upon the pulpit and the lectern. Yes, Easter season is officially gone, and it can almost seem like a little bit of a letdown. It can almost seem as if Jesus has left us behind. And of course, in terms of the church year which we follow, that feeling is pretty accurate. For after all, Jesus has ascended back into heaven. So in a sense, he has left. But what now? What comes next after Easter? Well, Jesus tells us today that his leaving, his ascending back to heaven, is not for us bad news, but good news. But today, although it might seem that we have lost something, Jesus tells us instead we have gained something. For today is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost means the coming of the Holy Spirit as the constant presence of God upon the church. Oh, the Spirit, being one of the three eternal persons of the Trinity, has been around forever. No doubt we see him appearing in the Scriptures time and time again throughout the Old Testament, even all the way back to Genesis when he hovered over the waters. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit now takes on a much more prominent and consistent role on earth as he is sent by Jesus into the church. Jesus tells us today in our reading from John exactly what it is that the Holy Spirit came to do. He tells us what the work of the Spirit is that he wishes to do in the world through us, his church. Jesus says that the Spirit's work is threefold. First, he convicts the world concerning sin. Secondly, he convicts the world concerning righteousness. And lastly, he convicts the world concerning judgment. Yes, these are the three things which God wishes for the whole world to understand perfectly. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so he sends his Holy Spirit into the world to teach the world about these three things. First, the Spirit comes to convince the world concerning sin. And what exactly is it that the Holy Spirit wants the world to know about sin? Well, he desires that everyone would understand exactly what the gravest sin is that anyone could do. I suppose if you or I were asked what the gravest sin was we could think about, we might all come up with a different answer. Perhaps something we remember from the Bible or something we have seen, a crime or something on television. But the Holy Spirit tells us that the greatest sin on earth is not any of those things. The greatest sin on earth, he says, is to not believe in Jesus. I sometimes wonder if we forget this truth when we are thinking about our world and when we're talking to them. The Christian church on the whole is often very good at telling the world that we want them to follow the commands that are in the Bible. And we often find creative ways in order to get that message out to the entire world. But I wonder, how often do we actually talk to people, especially in our own lives, about the gravest sin that is in many people's lives? The fact that they do not believe in Jesus. We tell people not to have abortions. We tell them not to engage in homosexuality. We tell them to follow the Ten Commandments. But how often do we sit down and talk with those people individually about the fact that they do not believe in Jesus, and that is ultimately the one gravest sin in their life? For if we do not do that work, we learn from John today and Jesus, who speaks in John, that indeed we are not doing the Spirit's work concerning sin properly. You know, unfortunately, most of the world doesn't really care who their neighbor believes in, as long as they're generally nice people. Most people would be happy to have a neighbor who's a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist, so long as they don't cause any trouble, don't break into their house, don't hurt their children. But today we are reminded that that's not how the Spirit thinks, and therefore not how those of us who are born of the Spirit should think either. The main sin in the world that we should be passionate about is unbelief in Jesus. So I suppose for every letter we send to try to keep the Ten Commandments in courtrooms across the country, we should also take the time to sit down and write a heartfelt letter to a family member that does not believe in Christ. Our passion about keeping marriage defined the way it always has been should also be matched by our passion work for mission, both here and around the world. Yes, indeed, as clear as we are that abortion is a murderous act, we must also be clear to our world that there is only one way in which one can find salvation, and that is through Jesus. Yes, we must do all of these things, because that is what the Holy Spirit seeks to convince the world about sin. He wants them to know that not believing in Jesus is the worst sin in the world. Secondly, we're told that the Holy Spirit's work is to convict the world concerning righteousness. Now, the world has a whole lot of ideas about righteousness, but most of those ideas can all be brought together into one general idea. Almost the entire world outside of the Christian faith believes that righteousness is about what a person does. And yet, strangely, Jesus, when he is talking about what the Spirit will do in concern to righteousness, says that righteousness is about Jesus returning to the Father, and we can no longer see him. It seems kind of an odd statement. What does Jesus returning to the Father ultimately have to do with righteousness? Well, Christ's ability to return to the Father and sit down next to him proves that he indeed is and was and shall be forever perfectly righteous. And that has everything then to do with the righteousness that the entire world has offered to them. You see, the fact that Jesus was perfectly righteous means that he didn't have to die for his own sins, and therefore he could die for our sins. And not just ours here, but for the sins of the entire world. It means that now those sins are gone. And so the Spirit teaches us that righteousness is only found in Jesus. Yes, the Spirit, through his witness, makes clear that righteousness is not something to be earned or something to do, but something to be received by grace through faith. And once again, as God's people, we are called to communicate this idea of righteousness to our world. We cannot just be like the rest of the world talking about righteousness as if all that word means is what we do on a daily basis. All of our talk about righteousness must start with talking about the righteous one, Jesus, and all that he has done. For only then will the Spirit convict the world concerning righteousness, that righteousness is not earned, but received. Finally, Jesus says the Spirit will come to convict the world concerning judgment. And here Jesus says that judgment is all about the fact that the ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged. In other words, Jesus says that all other judgments passed on this earth mean little in comparison to the ultimate judgment that has been made. And that should tell us that we should ultimately not place ourselves at the foot of any other judge. We should not ultimately worry about the judgment of any other ruler on the earth. Nor should we worry about the judgment of family or the judgment of our peers. No, God has already passed final judgment. And his judgment is this, that Satan and his works and his ways are evil, and that they are defeated. And that conversely, Jesus and his ways and his works are pure and are victorious. And so we must be blessed to have this knowledge. And so we should walk in that knowledge, knowing that the ultimate judgment has been passed, and so we need not look elsewhere, but simply trust the judge who died and rose and ascended on high. Yes, we must cling to all things that are of Christ and reject all things that are of the evil one. So when our society judges greed as good, we must instead cling to selflessness, having learned it of Jesus on the cross. When our friends judge lust as laudable, we will instead cling to purity, having understood it by watching Jesus throughout his life. When our family urges us that just a little deceit could help us make it through life a little easier, we must instead cling to truth, having learned that Jesus is true. Yes, our world really in our day and age likes to believe that everyone will simply be judged according to their own thoughts and their own ideas. But when the world says that, we must remind them that judgment has already been rendered. And the one who did the judging did not need the counsel of any of those other people's ideas to render it. Yes, indeed, God has judged that all things connected to Satan will be destroyed and all things connected to Christ will be saved. Yes, the Spirit comes into the world at Pentecost to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And as we have learned, he does this all by pointing to the one who has ascended back on high. Sin is to not believe in Jesus. Righteousness is to believe in Jesus. And the righteous one is the only judge worth considering. Yes, the Spirit teaches the world that everything in this world is ultimately about Jesus. While he is no longer on the earth, everything that is going on the earth is ultimately about him. And the Spirit seeks to do this work for which he was sent to do through his church, through you and through me. Yes, the Spirit desires to do this work, but there are only two things that you and I can do that will stop his work from being done. The first is if we do not truly understand sin and righteousness and judgment ourselves. If we think sin is ultimately just about specific actions we perform, if we think that righteousness is about what we do, if we think judgment is something left up to each person, then indeed we must stop today and repent. We must return to the Spirit in order that he might teach us again concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And once he has done that, then we must leave and go about the work of the Spirit in our lives. We must speak about those three things in our world truthfully and boldly. For that's the second thing that can stop the Spirit's work from being done. is if you and I, who have been taught by the Spirit about sin and righteousness and judgment, for whatever reason do not speak about it in our world. If we have done this, we also need to repent. And the great news today is that if we will repent of our past actions, the Holy Spirit who has now come will do what He always does. He will point us to Jesus. And there we will find forgiveness. And there we will learn of sin and righteousness and judgment. For this is the work of the Spirit, who fell on the disciples on that first Pentecost day. That same Spirit who dwells with us here this day as well. That is the Spirit's work, that you and the entire world would understand sin and righteousness and judgment. May He grant us that understanding. Amen.